Yates.
Dennis Stone, Torre, Michael Parsons going at you people.
If y'all just want to hate Cowboys Nation, just say y'all hate Cowboys Nation.
Mm-hmm. Also, Mad Max Game 3, Aces Lib Game 4, and the Phillies. Let's go.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Everything's a nation.
Game 1, it was the first pitch. Game 2, it was the fifth pitch. Boom! Trey Turner leaving the yard, and then Kyle Schwarber, and then Kyle Schwarber, and lights out, Gorilla Radio, the roof blown off the already roofless Citizens Bank. 10-0. Arizona can't get out of Philly fast enough. There's impressive, and then there's what Philly has done. The scoring margin through 8 games is the highest in postseason history. They have more home runs over a 4-game span than anybody in postseason history. The 1.39 ERA is the second lowest ERA in postseason history. Is that sustainable? And who and what has impressed you most around the horn, Clinton Yates?
Let me break this thing down from a fundamental standpoint. The person who's impressed me most is Philly's GM, Sam Fold, and here's why. You take a look at some of these other teams. The Braves put together a bunch of young guys, signed them to long-term, 100 wins, can't figure it out in the playoffs. The Dodgers claiming they're getting guys off of scrap heaps, reconnecting their career, win 100 games, can't get there. The mix of the Philadelphia Phillies is the best blend of baseball clubhouse the big leagues has seen in a decade. They play like a beer league team, out here smashing homers with guys that were put together from other squads that genuinely like each other, and they have one superstar. Their one drafted player, Aaron Nola, was dealing last night. This is what you're looking for, GMs. I know the Red Sox are trying to get him, but that's what this is all about. They put together a team full of guys that really play the game in an aggressive way that matters in October, that doesn't matter in the rest of the regular season, and it's counting. They were the buzzsaw last year, they're the buzzsaw plus this year.
David Dennis Jr., who or what has impressed you most about this Phillies team?
Can we go D, like all of the above, like everybody? Like this Phillies team is basically like Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat, where they snatch your soul as they're beating you. And it seems like they've snatched the Braves' soul and became them, because they are doing everything that we thought the Atlanta Braves were going to be doing, dominating in this playoffs. They've become them. They have only had 6 people at bat while trailing the entire 8 games, which is way far below any in baseball history. But if I had to pinpoint one person, I would have to go Trey Turner and the way that he's playing. 15 for 30. The guy's batting 500, which has only happened 4 times. They've had the best 8-game run in postseason history through any straight 8 games that we've ever seen. They are on a heater all time right now, and they seem unstoppable.
Kevin Blackstone, who or what has impressed you most with this Phillies run?
Well, Clinton, if you're going to credit the Phillies GM, how about crediting the Nats ownership that let the Harper to stay here, Turner to stay here, and let Schwarber go? But I'll just point to 2 things. One, the pitching has been unbelievable. They only started 3 guys, and those 3 guys over 46 and a third innings have been absolutely lights out. And how about Schwarber, who, when he was down here with the Nats, went on a tear of 12 home runs in 10 consecutive games. Right now, he's tied with Reggie Jackson for the most postseason home runs by a left-handed hitter. And when he's doing it from the leadoff spot, a guy who doesn't hit for average, doesn't steal bases, looks like what an oversized fire hydrant, the way he's built, and he's as strong as can be, and he is just crushing the baseball right now. So he's my guy.
And Pablo Torre.
Yeah, the answer is Kyle Schwarber. I just like that he bats leadoff, and I like that Kevin Blackstone's leadoff stat was a stat about him with the Nationals. So for me, in the present tense, Kyle Schwarber with this team, Tony, they're 70-42 since they went to him in June 2nd, batting leadoff, okay? This is a strange thing to see. That guy, shaped as the way KB described him, playing like this. And so for me, he's emblematic, too, of this postseason. A weird thing is happening in this baseball playoffs. By the 4th inning, whoever's leading right now is winning the game.
What is that about?
I believe it's like 23-2. It's just a remarkable thing about how important a lead is right now. I've never seen anything like it. Kyle Schwarber, though, is kind of he's the apotheosis, Tony, of this premise.
Understood.
Get a lead ASAP, don't give
it up. But we have a lot of data going back 140 years of postseason.
We do.
That would suggest that this could be an anomaly. So, Clinton, when you consider it all,
Is this sustainable?
Absolutely. I just mentioned this earlier. Last year, they were ahead of schedule. This year, they're on schedule. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're embodied by one play that I remember from last week. Jake Cave, up a ton of runs, combing around third, hammering it, trying to get to third. They're blowing people out. He knows he's not going to get to play a lot. This is the kind of ethos we love on a ball team trying to win this thing in October.
It sounds to me like you think this is bigger than baseball, Clinton.
I mean, I think that this is what baseball is supposed to be instead of, hello, guys crunching numbers in front offices instead of looking at the baseball in front of them on the field. How about that for data?
Talk about how hot Philadelphia is and how they haven't trailed this postseason, yada yada. The same is true for the Texas Rangers, the dream postseason. Let's go there now. Rangers-Astros game 3 in Arlington tonight, while Houston has to dig deep to come back. Rangers making a move now to throw Max Scherzer, game 3 starter, after a month away with the shoulder injury. It's a risk move. It's a reward move. Clinton, is it worth it? Can they work it? What's a fair expectation?
Well, I won't put that thing down, flip it, nor reverse it, but I do think that Bochy has a strategy here.
Thank you.
Up to Zap makes this doable. He's worked all the way back, but the problem for me is what thing he said working back, oh, I've been grinding, oh, I've been making sure. This was a guy who already has a bunch of arm issues late in seasons and postseason. This just feels like he's being rewarded for making it back at all, which I understand when you're up 2-0, but for me, I said this on this program, I don't think Max Scherzer made a huge World Series difference for the Rangers, and I don't think that's going to be the case tonight. They don't need a run from him. They need, at best, a quality start. If you get four innings out of him, you've had a good one for him.
David Dennis Jr., expectation for Scherzer, and what do you think of the decision to pitch a guy when everything's going right for you right now?
Yeah, I feel clean here on that. They're, you know, doing this because they're up, and the history is in the Rangers' favor here. When you have a team that's going home after being up 2-0 on a World Series champ, they're 4-0, and they've swept every time before this. But this is kind of playing with fire. You're playing with this Astros team that all they need is a spark to, you know, get back in this series. And I'm concerned about Scherzer. Last few starts since 2021, 4.64 ERA, and he's going up against a pitcher who's only allowed one, you know, earned run in the last four starts, and that's 17 innings pitch that he's done that. So this could go left for them very fast.
Okay.
If the Astros are back in this series, that could turn this series on.
So you would agree it's a reward, but it's a risk move here. Kevin Blackstone on the decision for sure to start game 3.
Well, I just got to think that given his most recent history, the last time we saw him, the last 4 or 5 games that we saw him, that he's going to be on short notice tonight, which is not something you would say normally about a guy like Max Scherzer. So I think that they are rolling the dice with him and hoping that with this 2-0 lead in the series that will give him some comfort. But I wouldn't bet on it, especially given that the Astros seem to be more at home when they are on the road. Mm-hmm. And the Rangers of all teams know plenty about that because the Astros have come in there and beaten them soundly. So this is a hopeful move by the Rangers going into
Pablo Torre.
But see, KB, this is when I would talk about the Nationals. I would bring up those statistics here because Max Scherzer, when he was a National, right? His slider, man, was one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. He could throw that thing at 86 miles an hour thereabouts. He could locate it in the strike zone. He's lost about 4 to 5 miles an hour on that pitch ever since then, Tony. So to me, I'm watching, can he throw the slider at that velocity? Can he find the strike zone? Joe Sheehan pointed this out in his newsletter as well. This is the big question about him as a pitcher. And so for me, there's definitely a don't play with your food kind of a warning here. Don't get cute with a project like Max Scherzer in the latter stages of his career.
Yates back in.
Oh, well, Max Scherzer, also famously for the Nationals, woke up one morning and couldn't pitch in the World Series because he was injured. We remember because we were there. The risk for him is his career ending. It's not as much for the Rangers in terms of everything. It's that the guy's 39 years old, and if this blows out, it's probably the end of it for him.
David Dennis Jr., last word, and then I want to pick from everybody here for tonight's game.
Yeah, we're talking about sustainability. One of the issues here is that you pull Scherzer, you're relying on that bullpen. And I know they've been playing great in the playoffs, 1.86 ERA, but through the regular season, they blew more saves than they, you know, actually accomplished. So yeah, that's something that could be troubling if you have to rely on them throughout
KB, who you got tonight?
Astros.
Torres.
Astros.
Yates.
Strohs, get back in it.
Dennis.
Astros.
Uh-oh. Buy or sell is next.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no, he's right. You know what that means.
I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry, you're fit to...
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
Ace Liberty, game four tonight in Brooklyn. The shots from Vegas' practice with Chelsea Gray, Kia Stokes, roller booted and crutched up. Such a gut punch. So now the Super Team Finals has the must win for New York tonight, of course. And Vegas playing shorthanded and knowing they have another game at home if needed, but could tonight be the night? Sometimes teams rally around being shorthanded, missing a star, Clinton. What you buying tonight?
I'm buying the fact that this is probably the biggest basketball game in New York since at least, what, the pandemic ended, which is a really cool thing for Liberty fans. And also, this is a real problem trending downer for the Aces. The injuries are a factor, and the De'Erica Hamby situation kind of coming back up to head from earlier this year is very awkward vibe-wise, trending poorly for Las Vegas.
Awkward vibe-wise, but it's not the injuries to the starting five as well, right? I mean, that's
a factor, obviously, yeah. But it's all not looking good right now.
David Dennis Jr. on what's at stake for the Aces tonight playing without two of their starting five.
Yeah, this is going to be an uphill battle. The face of this series has changed. The Aces only have eight available players now. Amazing. Four of those players have played fewer than 7 minutes per game. They are, you know, at the end of their rotation right now. And overall, I'm kind of bummed. This was supposed to be this epic series, and we've had three kind of stinker blowout games, and now the Aces are injured. I think this goes five, but I'm still, you know, would like to see both these teams at 100%.
KB.
Yeah, this is a real bummer. I mean, look, they were already missing Candace Parker, right? And they're talking about maybe she can come back tonight. I really don't see that. Now you're down two more starters. I can't see how they can even be competitive in this game. And it really does take some of the air out of a great
series. Pablo Torre.
Well, as the only panelist, Tony, who will be at the game tonight, the biggest basketball game since the pandemic in New York, I have to point out some of the advanced numbers here that I'll be evaluating. Don't take the FDR. I'll point out that Chelsea Gray, by the advanced on-off court numbers, Tony, is the second best player on the team, on the Aces,
yes,
ahead of Asia Wilson.
Yeah.
That's how well she's been playing. And so the idea here is, hey, Jonquel Jones, hey, Sabrina Ionescu, you know, the whole big four of the Liberty, just make sure you show up because this is the one game, given this context, you cannot possibly
afford to lose. Well, Jonquel Jones has showed up to absolutely every game this postseason. It's one of the great postseason runs. Ionescu gave the night. She needs to
need you tonight. Need them both tonight.
Of course, missing Chelsea Gray, an all WNBA player, hurts their chances. Biggest game since the pandemic. What are you guys talking about? This is the biggest game in New York basketball since the last finals game, which is now decades ago. We'll move on. Buy or sell to Micah Parsons.
So why is it that we are just scrubs and we're nobodies that don't deserve to be on the field and we're just all talk, but there's 100 excuses for these other teams? Like, if y'all just want to hate Cowboys Nation, just say y'all hate Cowboys Nation. I just don't condone the bashing of Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys and have the same energy for the Eagles.
David, Micah is calling you and all people of your ilk out. Please, how do you respond?
Well, shout out to Michael Parsons, who is a podcaster and somebody of my ilk. Congratulations to him for just realizing that he's a member of the Dallas Cowboys, which means you get a lot of attention. He's talking about why are people giving the Eagles the benefit of the doubt because the Eagles were getting criticized last year until they went to the Super Bowl, which is something the Cowboys have not done since Tommy was the Green Ranger. So when you do that, then you get the benefit of the doubt, and then you stop being criticized and called quote-unquote nobodies.
AB, you heard Micah Parsons there. Does he have a point?
Here's the point. You didn't start out the season 5-0. You lost to the Cardinals. You got blown out by the 49ers. You weren't in the Super Bowl last year. Those are the reasons why people may be hating on the Cowboys.
Pablo Torre, does Micah Parsons have a point?
He might not technically be incorrect. It's just the most unsympathetic argument I think that exists in sports. Please feel sorry for the Dallas Cowboys for being talked about all the time. As they say on Mad Men, that's what the money is for. This is the trade-off. You get to be a cowboy. You get to be very, very famous. Everybody cares about
you. But you would agree then there's a double standard there for the Dallas Cowboys.
The sheer volume, the tonnage of how much we talk about them, I get where he's coming from. I just don't care.
Well, as they say on social media, men will literally start a pointless podcast instead of going to therapy. Why do you have this at all? You're a member of the Dallas Cowboys because you don't understand what is going on. You cannot sit here and tell us, I can't believe people are paying attention to us. Who do you think you are? That's why you've got the podcast.
This is not a pointless podcast.
This is deeply embarrassing.
Okay, this is the third time he has done us a favor and gave us a topic. I mean, that's right. We thank him
all
for
podcasts.
That very
yeah,
much.
That's true.
You can agree that there's a double standard with the Dallas Cowboys. You can agree there's a double standard with analysis. When you're focusing on one team, it happens. It doesn't mean it's hypocrisy. It just means, okay, you can view different situations differently. Buy or sell three, Dabo Swinney. On his Monday Night Radio show, quote board, this, Tiger Calls is the name of the radio show, by the way. If you don't go undefeated, people say you're losers, that you're terrible. Honestly, maybe we need to lose a few games and lighten up the bandwagon. Sometimes the bandwagon gets too full. He went on to say that's one of the good things about adversity. You find out who's with you and who's not. KB, buy or sell Dabo there.
I got to sell them. I mean, and since when did we start talking about college football teams that are not in the top 25 on this show?
Okay.
Since when did we start talking about 4-2 college football teams that haven't won a national championship since before COVID? Stop it. Move on to someone else.
Since before COVID? Okay. I mean, Pablo Torre, how about you?
It's a thing when you're the head coach whose whole, like, deal is the best is our standard. He is the guy who likes to privatize his gains and socialize his losses. When everything's going well, we're the best. When they're 4-2, hey, 4-2 is also cool. Sorry, you can't be both ways on this topic.
Yeah, but think about the last 5 years of Dabo's life. He's lost two pro-quality quarterbacks. He's decided that he didn't want to pay NIL. He wanted to go in God's name, image and likeness, and lost all his talent. And then Deion Sanders shows up, and KB, everybody's talking about them at 4-3. This is what's going on with Dabo. His life is right in front of him, and he cannot believe his career is falling apart this quickly. It's pretty odd to see.
I don't know if his career is falling apart, but the team's record has gotten to a point.
Would you hire him?
Would I hire him? Right. I don't hire college football coaches. David Dennis Jr., how about you?
Even though I just used my tiny violin for the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to put my tiny violin on this side for poor Dabo Swinney. You know what's not good for adversity? The coach railing against the fans and then trying to backtrack saying there's only 1.5% of the fans who are being negative. If it's 1.5% of the fans, you don't need a press conference to address them. This is somebody who cannot handle the state of his team and where that responsibility falls, and so you're diverging and talking about something that's immaterial.
Career in shambles.
Clinton Yates. Thank you for your time today.
Around the horn panelist.
David Dennis Jr., Kevin Blackstone. Showdown in 2 minutes.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Heart of Happy Hour.
Trade-seeking James Harden and no-show at Sixers practice today. Last week, Harden said he'd make his preseason debut at home in Philadelphia on Friday against the Hawks. Ramona Shelburne's reporting he's been in Houston the last few days. Your takeaway, David?
James Harden is going to James Harden. This is what he does, and he's causing chaos in the organization. But the biggest concern, if I'm Philadelphia, is what we saw after practice is Joel Embiid once again having to answer for a superstar not showing up. They have to worry about his disposition going forward and how much longer he
wants
to
be. He is doing what James Harden does. He always gets to a team, and after a while, he doesn't want to be there and try and pines to go somewhere else. What I don't get is that he had a stellar year last year, led the league, I believe, in assists with Embiid. I mean, this is a team that could go someplace. Stay where you are for once. The end of your career.
Mm-hmm. No offense to you guys, but at the moment, this is now a banned story on this show until something happens. We'll move on. USA 4, Ghana 0, the Gio Reyna breakthrough game. 2 goals, and I want you to check out the second goal because it's an indirect kick from inside the box, which is just chaos. Kevin, can 1 2-goal game solve the Gio Reyna riddle?
You know what? We're about to find out, and good for him. Here's a guy who got played sparingly in the World Cup. His coach said he didn't hustle, kind of fired those words at him. He comes back now, shows how valuable he can be, and look at the new hair. I like
David.
That.
We're about to find out. Here's a direct answer. No, it is not going to solve this. They're up 4-0 in a friendly, and everything is happy-go-lucky. When they find some actual diversity in games with that matter, then we're going to test how close
the
team is.
But you can't always just be about, you got to wait till it's the World Cup games that matter. I mean, you can judge it for what it is now. The story and headline is, this has been a problem about his parents and the coach. That's what the issue is. We'll move on. It's official. Showdown 3, it's a broken foot for Shane Beamer.
I was frustrated and kicked something that I shouldn't have kicked before anybody starts the narrative like the head football coach.
Uh-oh, what is that? What is
frustrated
that?
And lost his poise. I care about these kids, and I was really upset on Saturday night because I didn't do enough to help them.
David, when the coach hurts himself in frustration, is that a good lesson or bad lesson?
It's a bad lesson. He's worried about the narrative that the coach
lost
his temper.
What are you doing? Please, go ahead. You walked into a bad word.
Come on.
Go ahead, KB.
He's just doing what Gamecock fans do every year. At some point, they kick something and break something. Yeah. That's why Shane Beamer is good for South Carolina.
The problem isn't the broken body part. The problem is the bad word. 30 seconds of FaceTime, Kevin Blackenstone.
So the other week, I'm riding my bike to work. I hit an acorn, blows out my tire. I have to make the walk of shame back home with my bike. Come to find out, there are acorns all over the place. It was an acorn avalanche because we're in the middle of what's called a mass. When trees that produce acorns produce twice as many as they normally do in order to survive. The problem is only squirrels can do anything with acorns. The rest of us, we can't eat them because they have poisons in them. What is up with acorns? We got to get them out of here. We got enough already. Too many acorns coming down right now.
Have you ever experienced autumn before, Kevin?
You know what they say about blind squirrels?
Just realizing.